Today's substitute scripture reading is Mark chapter 10, 46 through 52. They came to Jericho. As he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately, he regained his sight and followed him on the way. This is the word of the Lord.
I invite you to pray in your hearts with me. Lord God, thank you for all your goodness, for all your blessings, indeed for your amazing, amazing grace. Thank you for forgiveness this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to be with your people, with your family. We thank you for our children, for their beauty and their enthusiasm. Pray for your protection over them. And God, we're grateful for your word. And as we now sit and wait expectantly for you to speak to us, may your spirit indeed prepare our hearts. Bless us now with your word. In the name of Jesus, amen. A while ago, we did a small group study on temperaments and how knowing four different temperaments, and especially knowing our own temperament, can help us with our communication skills. And so if you're a blue or a melancholic like me, then you speak the language of perfection and order. And so in my strengths, I would say things like, you know, I've been giving it some thought, or I'm almost finished, I just want to fix this one thing. And in my weaknesses, I would say things like, you know, no one understands me, or I'm really worried about this. And if you're a yellow or a sanguine, then you speak the language of people and of fun. And in your strengths, you say things like, "Oh, I've got a story about that. Wait till you hear this." Or, "That sounds fun." But in your weaknesses, you might say things like, "Do you always have to be so serious?" Or, "Oops, I completely forgot." If you're a red or a choleric, you speak the language of power and control. And in your strengths, you commonly say, "How about we do it this way?" Or, "Can you get that finished for me today?" But in your weaknesses, you say things like, "Just do what I said, okay, and hurry up." And then there are the greens or phlegmatics. And if you're a green, then you speak the language of calm and harmony. And in your strengths, you will say, "I'm good with whatever. Or I think I can make that work." But in your weaknesses, you say things like, "I'll do it later," or, "I don't know." The point is, your temperament affects what you say, how you listen, and how other people actually hear you. And by understanding ourselves and others better, it helps us with our communication. And the important thing is, it enables us to better listen to one another. So those of you who did the study, or just by listening to me this morning, how many of you are reds? It's okay. It's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. How many of you would say you're yellows? Blues? Greens? So, thank you. Thank you for that. So, only 4 weeks from the next general election, it seems as if there are only two colors of note right now, the reds and the blues. And of course, it has nothing to do with temperaments, but all to do with political views and convictions. And I think it's fair to say that our nation is split right down the middle with blues and reds. And of course, there's nothing wrong with that, absolutely nothing. Everyone is entitled to their own views on politics. But the problem is, it seems like the blues and the reds don't want to talk to one another anymore. They don't want to listen to each other anymore. In spite of the many, many things in common, there is this divisiveness. And these two colors are so dug in that they don't seem capable to dialogue or even listen to one another. There's an unwillingness to acknowledge and hear other voices. Jim Harrington, who's taught me much, said, "Speak clearly so others can listen. And listen carefully so others can speak." Because you see, we can be so busy on our mission. We can be so certain of our own views. We can be so entrenched in our own way of seeing the world that we stop listening. We can find ourselves in a place where we actually become incapable of hearing other voices. And yet, as Christians, as people who are following Jesus Christ, we cannot fully engage in our mission without taking the time to hear the voices on the side of the road. And if we're going to live according to the principles Jesus taught us, then we need to make time to hear other voices and be willing to listen to them. Carefully. We're not able to connect with other people if we're not interested in hearing them. We cannot truly love our neighbors if we're unwilling to open ourselves up to them. So what I'm saying is that we can be so focused on our plans or that we ignore the people on the wayside, especially those who are different from us in some way or many ways. Those who have different political views. Those who speak with a different accent. Those who share a different culture. Those who are desperate for a new beginning and a new place. Those who are not as financially blessed as you are. Those who are not believing what you believe. We can have the best intentions, but if we're unwilling to stop and make sure we make time to hear other voices, we're not following the example of our Savior. Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. Bartimaeus was sitting by the roadside. He was blind. He was a beggar. He was an outcast. He was marginalized and an outsider of society. But he knew who Jesus was, and when he heard that Jesus was passing by, he shouted, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Who is Bartimaeus? He can be the homeless man or woman living on New York City streets. It can be the person unable to speak English who's riding the bus on Northern Boulevard, working minimum wage jobs and struggling to make ends meet. It can be the student who's a little different, who has no friends and who's sitting by herself on the playground. It can be the elderly person in the nursing home who's lost his independence and who finds it difficult to find meaning and purpose in his daily existence. It can be the person who received an unwelcome diagnosis and who's wondering, how am I going to be able to cope and deal with this? It can be that wealthy person who puts up a front because of his many insecurities. It can be the person who's willing to risk her own life to try to find a better life for her children in a different country. But Timaeus by the roadside can be the guy in the red MAGA hat, or in the childless cat lady t-shirt. But here's the point. Regardless of who they are or what their circumstances are, they still have a voice. It says in verse 48, many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Many people wanted the blind man to be quiet. You know, they tried to hush him up, shut up, but Timaeus, be quiet. But he held even louder, "Jesus, have mercy on me," despite the fact that he was blind and poor. But Timaeus had a voice. And fortunately for him, he knew how to use it. But not everybody has a voice or feels like they have a voice. And some have a voice, but they are unable or unwilling or too afraid to use their voice. Some people are nonverbal. But here's the thing. We all have value. We all have an inherent worth. We are all made in the image of God, regardless of our differences and what others may think of us. Now, what's kind of interesting is that marginalized people are often able to recognize the presence and work of God and connect with it in ways that advantaged people do not. That is maybe the reason why the Christian church is growing exponentially in places like Latin America and Africa and Asia and not in the United States of America. Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem and would soon be arrested and tried, and he heard Bartimaeus' voice. And even though he was on his way to face his biggest challenge, he stopped to do what? He stopped to listen to him. The people following Jesus tried to quiet Bartimaeus because they were focused on the task at hand. But Jesus stopped to listen. He said, forget about the agenda for just a bit, okay? Forget about the timeline for just a minute. I want to hear what this man is saying. And what we see is that Jesus not only listened with his ears, but he listened with his heart and his spirit. And he was open to who Bartimaeus was and what he may need. He did not presume to know what Bartimaeus needed. Just like we don't presume to know what someone who's different from us may need. Or presume to know that what all Republicans or all Democrats are like and what they're thinking and believing. And so Jesus made room for Bartimaeus by asking him, what do you want me to do for you? Because you see, before we can receive others, before we can truly listen and hear others' voices, we must first make room in ourselves. Before we can receive others, we must first make room in our hearts and in our churches and in our communities. Don't simply assume you know what a person needs or what a person is like, based simply on your own worldview or cultural perspective or political persuasions. Make room in your heart and be willing to ask and to listen to the response. What is it actually like to be living paycheck to paycheck on minimum wage? What is it like to not have a loving and caring family? What is it like not to know where you are going to sleep tonight? Why don't you tell me exactly what your views are on the politics of the day? If you want the opportunity to speak clearly so others can listen, then be willing to listen carefully so others can speak. Jesus didn't just assume that he knew what Bartimaeus wanted to have to say. He asked him, what do you want me to do for you? We're living in a society where information is coming at us from all directions. And if there's ever been a time when it's important to stop and listen, it is now. So let me ask you, when was the last time you just stopped what you were doing to listen? You're not formulating your answer while the other person is talking. You're listening. You're not completing the other person's sentence for them. You're listening. You're not assuming you know what the other person is thinking or believing. You're listening. You're listening with an open mind and heart. You're listening carefully so others can speak. Because what we learn from Jesus is that we need to hear and respect the voices of all those we come into contact with. God wants you to keep your heart open to where he's already present and how he's already moving. And the truth is, and the reality of our existence is, that we will always be different colors. Whether it be temperaments or political persuasions. But regardless of our color, let us as God's children make a decision to be more intentional about hearing the voices on the road. Because in the end, as the family of God, as members of community church, as those baptized in the name of Jesus, our main distinction is not whether we are blue or red. Our identity lies in the fact that we're all washed white by the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So this weekend and this month leading up to the election, why don't we think of one or two ways to become more aware of the voices on the side of the road and how we can create space for them? Amen. Let us pray. Merciful God, as Jesus asked us, what do you want me to do for you? May we be willing to listen to the voices of others. Not presuming to know who they are or what they think or what they believe or what their needs are, but to actually listen, to make room in our own hearts for those who are different, those who believe differently. May your Spirit open our hearts and our minds to take the time to stop, to be willing to listen to others' voices. In the name of Jesus, amen.